Today's readings all clearly attest to two central doctrines to our Christian faith. And these doctrines are rightly called mysteries. Mysteries. That means that they are not to be fully understood and explained. Rather, they are to be heard and believed, confessed and adored, as the inscrutable mystery of godliness. The first mystery is that God, the only true God, is triune. Three persons in one God. And second, that Jesus Christ is both true God and true man. First is that God, the only true God, is triune. Three persons in one God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he was speaking. And when he spoke, the thing spoken was created and came to be. Let there be light, and it was created. When God said, let there be light, let there be a firmament, let there be sun and moon and stars and so on. Who was God speaking to? Men? No, they hadn't been created yet. Angels? No, they too are created beings as well, not co-creators with God. He could not be speaking to creation itself because it was creation that he was speaking into existence from nothing. God was not speaking to a creature. God was speaking to himself. And yet this was not strange or schizophrenic in some way. Because though he was speaking to himself, he was nevertheless speaking to another person. God was speaking to his only begotten Son. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Word was with God and was God at the same time. And the Word that was God is his only begotten Son from eternity, uncreated. True God. In the beginning, God the Father spoke to his Son who carried out his orders and created what was spoken on the 6 days of creation. And now, Jesus Christ, who is that very same Son, though now in human flesh, explains this eternal cooperation of the Father and the Son to his disciples. On the night before his glorification on the cross, Jesus says to them, "The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing." Here Jesus is, of course, talking about the Father's plan to save the world through the sacrifice of his Son. The Father spoke. He decreed and thus foreordained the death and resurrection of his Son for the redemption of the world, and Jesus, the Word of God, carried it out. And the thing to keep in mind is that this was no new arrangement. Jesus says these words as though this is always the way the Father and the Son carry out their common will. From the beginning of time and before time, God carries out creation and the new creation in this way. The Father declares, the Son does. And this is no subordination of the Son. That the Son would obey the Father from eternity, it doesn't mean that he's somehow less than the Father. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. One mind, one will according to his divinity, and one and only one God. But not one person only, because the person of the Father speaks to the person of the Son when he says, "Let us," plural, "let us make man in our image." God alone is God, but God is never alone. God is Father, Son, always together, always one. Father and Son are one God with the Holy Spirit, who was also present and involved in creation. He was hovering over the face of the waters. He is the Lord and the giver of life who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who gave life to Adam, to Eve, and to all men. The Holy Spirit, he is a person, just like the Father, just like the Son. And this is clear because Scripture speaks of him as a person, as a he. For instance, Jesus promised to his disciples that he would pray to his Father, who would send them the Holy Spirit, and promised them, "He," the Holy Spirit, "He will guide you in all truth." Later, the Apostle Peter says to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" You can't lie to a power or an impersonal force. You cannot lie to the wind or to the sky or to gravity or to electricity. You can only lie to a person. And Scripture says that the Holy Spirit was lied to. This is because he is a person. And he is God, together with the Father and the Son. Jesus says, "Go therefore and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Your name is your identity. It's what distinguishes you from every other person in the world. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have but one name, because they are one essence and they are one God. You were not baptized into three names of God, but the one name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that sets him apart from all other gods. And friends, practically speaking, this is why it's wrong to pray with a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or a Muslim or a present-day Jew. Even though they would all claim to worship the God of Abraham, as indeed we do. If they are honest, they will tell you themselves that they pray to a different God than you do, because they do not pray to the triune God, but you do. Do not pray with anyone who does not honor the true triune God. Instead, preach to them and pray for them, because they worship a fabrication, a man-made lie. To them, God, a single God, can only be one person, no matter what the Bible says. Therefore, they make up from their own imagination, declare and pray to an idol, a God that doesn't exist. There is no God but the triune God, the God who is three persons, and we pray in his one name, teach in his one name, baptize in his one name. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so the first doctrine today is that the true God is triune, and there is no other God. The second is that Jesus Christ is both true God and true man. Today's gospel lesson says that when the disciples saw Jesus after his resurrection, they worshiped him. They worshiped him. They worshiped Jesus. And the wise men who brought gifts to the infant Jesus bowed down and worshiped him. And when Jesus appeared to the women who had just visited and seen his empty tomb, He greeted them, and the scriptures say, they bowed down, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. When the devil tempted Jesus with all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, Satan said, all this I will give to you if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Worship belongs to God alone. And Jesus accepts such worship from his disciples. Were he not God, he would have rebuked them, as he did Satan. But he is God. So he received such worship as good, right, and proper. In the book of Revelation, St. John has a vision, and an angel comes to him sent by God and gave him a message to write. And John says of the angel, then I fell down at the angel's feet to worship him, but he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Do not worship me, worship God. When Thomas sees the resurrected Jesus with his own eyes and is invited to touch his open wounds, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Were Jesus less than God, he would have rebuked Thomas. But as it was, Jesus accepted the title of God because he is the true God, together with his Father and Spirit, three in one. But Jesus is not only true God, he is also true man, conceived by the Spirit, but born of the Virgin Mary. He is true God, immortal, but also true man who died. God cannot die unless he's a man, and so he became one. To redeem us and pay our ransom, he took on our flesh, and he died in the flesh. But his flesh did not see corruption. It didn't rot away because he knew no sin. And death could not hold him. And now he is raised again and lives as God in the flesh for us to have and to hold on to by faith and to worship in spirit and truth. And he is the King of all, now ascended to the right hand of God to rule all things by the word of his power, by which all things were made and will be made again. In conclusion, two things have been preached to you today. And as the Athanasian Creed we are about to recite says, these two mysteries are necessary for salvation. Whoever does not keep these mysteries whole and undefiled will without a doubt perish for eternity. But whoever has them, believes them with their heart, and confesses them with their lips, has eternal life even now. First, that the true God is triune, three persons, yet only one God. And the second person of God, the Son, is also a man, Jesus Christ, who did only what a man can do. He was born, suffered, crucified, shed his own blood, died, rose again, and is crowned Messiah and Lord, King of all creation, a man like us in every way, only without sin, but more than us according to his divinity, which was his with the Father and the Spirit in the glory they shared before the world began. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is fully God and fully man. Believe it. Confess it, adore it, as the mystery of godliness that was not discovered by men, but revealed from the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. As St. Paul says, he was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. This is the mystery of godliness we proclaim. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in the mystery of our faith through Jesus Christ.